Moses didn't create a Lord God or an Adam and an Eve. These are characters to demonstrate a point of view, and the conditions that he was citing were not created by him. He was merely a reporter of the fact that those conditions existed. Now, when you woke up this morning, unless you're a highly enlightened individual, this same Lord God stood right in front of you, and you didn't recognize the Lord God, but you did see the tree of good and evil, because the Lord God has a way of being there and putting the tree smack dab in front of you. This is what happens every day of our life, and what has been happening to everyone on the face of the earth. We look out at the material creation, which is not the creation of God. We're looking at the tree of good and evil just by being humanly alive. We can't avoid it. This is the act of living as a human being. Now, spiritual living, then, is to take you out of this foul idea of good and evil into a way of life in which you recognize that evil is more than a mental suggestion, that evil is a non-existence perpetuated simply by a belief in it which exists in a mind which is feeding into your mind every second of your life. That mind feeding into your mind has the very lovely name of Lord God. It's mortal mind. Universal mortal mind feeding into your mind right now. And unless you break that circuit, your mind goes on and echoes mortal mind thoughts, and this becomes a sequence of your own human experience. Now, science thinks that it has rejected God. But science has not rejected God. Science has rejected the Lord God that has been perpetuated in this second and third chapter of Genesis. Thinking that it's rejected God, it has rejected the Lord God. It has rejected the false God. And rightly so. The God that it has rejected is not God. But science inadvertently has helped to prove the existence of God. Now, the atom has been a very important development. For one reason, it will enable you and me and science to clarify the Bible. Now, here we are sitting, and we all think of ourselves as this human flesh. And science says, no, no, that isn't you at all. You're made up of invisible atoms. And you know we have to agree with them because they know more about the physical world than we do. They're right. We are made up of human atoms. Invisible electrical particles in fast orbit appearing as our human flesh. We may not like it, but they can prove their point that all matter is made up of an atomic structure. And so here you are looking at me and me at you, and we look at each other, but we cannot see the atoms of which we're made. And yet behind this visible physical, we must admit, there is an atomic universe, and all matter is atomic in nature. All matter is invisible atoms. Now, that's hard for us to accept, but suppose that every man on earth accepted it, he would have to then act like an atom instead of like a physical man. And if every woman accepted it, she would have to act like an atom instead of like a physical woman. What I mean is, suppose you're a woman, but you decide that you're going to go for a week and act like a man. You know very well you wouldn't get very far. You'd be called upon to lift certain things and you couldn't do it, or to run so fast and you couldn't do it. You can't be a woman and act like a man. Now, what makes you think you can be an Adam and act like a person? You can act like a person, but you're not acting like what you are, because you are atoms. Now, once we accept that we're not acting like what we truly are, we must see that we're violating our physical identity by acting like something that we're not. Now, I want you to see that just as you are physical, but are really an invisible substance called atoms, which you cannot see, there is something behind the atom which the atom cannot see. And that is the invisible life force. I want you to see three layers. I want you to see the physical level, which we all see and touch. But science tells us, no, behind that is another level, the atomic level. That's the reality. And they're half right. Now you will have to accept them, but now we're going to train them. Physical, yes. Atomic, yes. But let's get this third level, the invisible life force, behind even the atom. And let's see the three levels as matter, atom, spirit. Now watch. You live in the material consciousness, but you're really atomic in your physical form, and yet in spite of the belief in science that you're atomic, you're not even that. You're the pure spirit of God. You're this level. Science thinks you're that level, and you think you're this level. You're two levels away from reality. And Jesus says to the cripple, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Meaning, up here, mister, in this third level, would you like to be connected to your truth, your spiritual self? And when you are, spirit through the atom, through the matter, will function as grace. You will be made one with a spiritual, unchanging, permanent self of God. Now that spiritual level is the first chapter of Genesis. And the second and third chapters are the atomic and the material levels. The first two, the atomic and the material, are the supposition of this collective mind of man about the invisible, unknown spiritual level. Now, once you get used to that, we can go a step further. Nothing happens on the spiritual level that is evil. No death occurs there. You can kill up here in the world with all your war and your assassinations. It never comes and happens in the spiritual level. All that happens is this fellow who dies up here, spirit reforms him over here, and he comes up again. You kill a Bobby Kennedy here, the atoms disintegrate, the spirit reforms because it had that fellow out there for a purpose, to get acquainted with the spiritual self of him. This is your soul level, the spiritual level, the life force level, the creation level, the kingdom level. Now, every evil that happens up here never penetrates to this level. And the evil is always in the level of mind, human mind. Always in the level of distortion about the permanent truth of creation. There is no evil in spirit. Now, these evils then, happening all around us, of an infinite nature, so that wherever you go, you trip over this tree of good and evil, these happening all around us are happening in a mental universe. And that mental universe is derived from that atomic universe, which is derived from that spiritual universe. Now you've got three levels, and you could see why Jesus could say, "Pilate, thou couldst have no power over me." You can kill this level off and the level below, but I'm living in spirit, and I'll come right bouncing right up again into that third level where you are in the same form. Because you cannot crucify the kingdom of God, the spirit, which I am. Now you and I, we're living in the spiritual level all the time. That's how when we were created of the spirit of God, we were put into spiritual orbit. We're living there. Nothing can change it. Your life before you came into this form existed in the spiritual level. Your life will continue in the spiritual level after the form is gone, because I, the Spirit, will be with you always. Even while you're up here in the flesh, I, the Spirit, will be with thee unto the end of that level, that world. And so when you come back, I'll send you out again. Now, the Immaculate Conception then began when God of Himself made His image and likeness, you and me. And that image and likeness was certainly not the serpent and the sinners reported in the second and third chapters. Now it's coming very clear that that which was reported in the second and third chapters was not the image and likeness of God which we are. Now, we know that God is all. And we know that God is spirit. And we know that we were told to honor the Lord our God with all our hearts, mind, and soul. That meant honor spirit with all your heart, mind, and soul. Now you can see clearly why. Spirit is that which is the kingdom of God, in which purity, perfection, life everlasting are the truth of being. Now, when you're told to honor spirit, you come into a great key to the kingdom of God. You're told to honor God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you have never seen God. And the reason you haven't is because God is invisible. But you must honor God. Now, how are you going to honor God unless you honor the invisible? God is invisible, spirit is invisible, and you must honor God totally, completely. So you must honor the invisible. And that is another key to the kingdom of God. You cannot honor the invisible and the visible. And now you're faced with a dilemma. How can I honor the invisible? What kind of a life is that? It's a beautiful life. It's spiritual living. It's not talking about God, it's experiencing God. It's the difference between the first chapter and the second and third. It's the difference between my kingdom and the world of mind, mortal mind. Now let's see what he was trying to tell us when he told us, forget all the commandments, honor the Lord thy God. God is invisible and God is all. Then the invisible is all. Now then, we have three levels, spiritual, atomic, up here, the physical, but spirit is all. Therefore, the two on top are suppositional. They are the false mental creation, for only the spirit is real. And all that happens in evil is happening in the false mental creation and not in the spirit, which is the allness of God. Now, if you're going to honor the allness of God, the allness of spirit, the allness of the invisible, which is God, you will look at this world with its visible evils, and now your true worship is to worship the invisible God, which is the very opposite of what that evil appears to be. For example, the evil that appears to you will be hate. Hate is the visible object in front of you. No question about the hate of that person for you. By their face, by their physical threats, by their activities against you, they hate you. But the first commandment says, honor the Lord thy God. Now that hate is very visible in many ways. The Lord thy God is invisible, and you are told you cannot worship God and mammon. You cannot worship the visible and the invisible. You cannot worship the material and the spiritual. Don't you see? That's your clue. That's your clue. Where God is, love is. And God being everywhere, God being spirit, omnipresent, the quality of that spirit is love. And that which you are looking at as hate in the visible does not exist. It has no existence. That is why you're being told to honor the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. The hate you're looking at in the visible does not exist. It is in the Lord God creation of the false human mind. It isn't there. God has no opposite. God is completely without opposite. And if God is love, where is hate? Where? Where can you find hate in the kingdom of God? If God is omnipresent, then love is omnipresent. Where can you find hate where love exists? You're looking at something that does not exist. You're looking at human thought. Human thought in you, human thought in the one who seems to hate, and that individual is a victim of the Lord God, the tempter, the false world belief which is injecting the belief of hate into that individual appearing to you as hate. And that's hypnotism for them, and if you accept it, hypnotism for you. The false world, the Lord God world, is the world of hypnotism, in which we see opposites to God when no opposites exist. Now, when you worship the invisible God, the invisible spirit, you have your way of being released from those opposites of God which have no existence, but which have cluttered up mankind's life since he became aware of himself as a physical, mortal being. God has no opposite. And therefore, where you see war, you're seeing that which is pretending to be an opposite to God, because God is peace. God is omnipresent. And a quality of God which is peace, harmony, is equally omnipresent where the illusion of war appears. And when a chaplain who knows this walks out into the battleground, he walks back alive. You are being called to terminate the lie about God. The lie which says that in God's kingdom, in the allness of God, there can be lies and hate and war and disease and death. They have no existence. How can God, which is all, which is life, have an opposite? How can the allness have an opposite? How can life have an opposite then? Where is death? In the Lord God creation. Where is that pain in your back? You're accepting an opposite to God. You don't want to, then stop. Stop accepting it. You have the key to the kingdom. God has no opposite. And the Lord God, your human mind, working in parcel with this Lord God, this collective mortal mind, is perpetuating a notion that God has an opposite. God, who is purity, is appearing to your mind as impurity. God, who is perfect, is appearing to your mind as imperfection. Your Garden of Eden is the pure at heart consciousness which can now look out and say, because God has no opposite, this world has no evil. No evil. No death. Nothing that it has which is negative, which is opposed to God, can possibly be real. And you can prove this to yourself very easily. Let's take an evil. Here's an evil. Is God omnipotent or not? If God is all power, how does this evil stay here? Is God all powerful but cannot remove an evil? The acceptance of the all power of God is the removal of that evil. In the all power of God, there can be no evil. In the all power of God, there can never be anything to oppose God. And so where is the evil? In the human mind. Not even in the human body, in the human mind. And where does the human mind get it? From those world thoughts that come right back to us and feed us the lie about God. Now then, there is a consciousness which knows that God has no opposite, that evil has no real existence, and which can stand and face the opposites of God until it has nothing to face, because that which is not there need not be faced. Resist not evil. Why? It isn't there. Now then, before you think you're an ostrich putting your head in the sand and saying, oh, I'm just pretending it's not there, but it's really there. Every moment that you accept any form of evil, you're saying there is no God. You're putting your human mind above the mind of God. You're saying there is no God. To accept evil is atheism. You're saying there is no all-powerful God, and that's the reason I have this problem. And to pray to God to remove an evil is also atheism. Because now you're accusing God of not having a perfect kingdom and doing nothing about it until you raise your little voice and say, help me. What we're trying to see is that we can stand on our own 2 feet now. We're disposing of that which is not. You can look at any evil in this world and smile if you have prepared your consciousness to know that that appearance of evil is nothing more than a shadow of thought. Even if it seems to have all of the physical authority behind it, there is no evil on the face of this earth, and there is no evil person. There is only the Spirit of God. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is spirit. And the fullness of it is spirit. And in it there is no evil, for the spirit is too pure to behold or contain evil. And we have been put upon for longer than you can count by a non-existent series of evils which we, in our innocence and naivete and in our brainwashing, have accepted and fought against and tried to remove. And it was like looking up at a tree with branches and seeing snakes there instead, and then trying to spend 4,000 years removing the snakes, when the simple truth is there's nothing to remove. You don't have to remove death. You don't have to remove pain. You have to remove the belief that there is death and the belief that there is pain. Now, let's take a frying pan, crack an egg in it, and give it 3 minutes, and then come back and try to eat the egg. Oh, yes, we forgot to put on the flame. So we don't have an egg at all. We just have some kind of a liquid. Without the flame, nothing happened. Flame, frying pan, egg. Nothing happening in the egg until we turn on the flame. Now let's establish that your beliefs are that flame. And if you do not have the beliefs, the flame isn't on. And the world can put anything it wants to in the frying pan of your mind. Nothing will happen. You won't manufacture evil appearances with your mind if the belief under that mind is not there. Let's get rid of that flame of belief under the mind. Let us crucify the belief in every form of evil on the face of the earth. There are no exceptions. You die to the evil. Each day you die to another evil and remind yourself about the one you died to yesterday. Until someone can run up to you and say, your daughter was just run over by a giant truck, and this thing you've been practicing, there is no evil, stands up and says, what happened to the truck? Why? Because there is no evil. There is no evil. My daughter was not run over by a truck. And if she was, she's perfect. There is no evil. I cannot accept the possibility of evil. That is a denial of the omnipresence and the omnipotence of God. Oh, but you say it already happened. It already happened. Nothing you say now can undo it. It didn't happen. It didn't already happen. And it doesn't have to be undone. It cannot happen in the Father's kingdom. And when this becomes your awareness, that evil does not happen in the Father's kingdom, the belief of evil not being in you will make it possible for you to obey the first commandment in honor not the truck running over your daughter, but honor your Father with your heart and your soul and your mind. And you will discover to your astonishment that the little girl walks very well. Don't be put upon by the world's belief in evil. You have to unload thousands of years of that false thinking which has insinuated itself into our consciousness. The pure at heart is Christed, blessed. His is the kingdom of God because he lives in the Spirit. Now, what did Jesus say when they said the girl is dead or dying or Lazarus was dead? He could not accept the presence of evil as a possibility. You see how deep we have let this world mind embed itself into our individual mind? Why, it's almost like going straight through yourself down to the street and pulling hard all the way back. But you've got to do it. The belief that evil can exist is the root of the evil. Now, you have to work on this with yourself. Nobody can stand over you and repeat it to you 500 times a day. You have to do it. But there's a great reward. You can prove to yourself the non-existence of evil and the non-possibility of it simply by saying to yourself that God is all. And in the allness of God, there is no opposite to good. And that's why we are told not to eat of the tree of good and evil. There is no evil. And the eating of the tree of good and evil is what we've been doing by perpetuating the belief that there is evil as well as good. Now, if there's evil, let's face it, we live in a godless world and there is no kingdom of God around us. And we have no omnipotent God. And we have no omnipresent God and no all-knowing God. We're heathens. Without a God, without truth, we're just twigs in the wind. But if we have received within us some inner assurance, some conviction that God is all, why then just common sense follows that evil has no existence and no possibility of existence. And no truck's ever going to run over my daughter. No truck's ever going to run over me. There is no evil in this kingdom of God, which is all. Now then, when you have worked on this with yourself again and again and again, the second and third chapters of Genesis will begin to disintegrate in your consciousness. And you will find the only thing left is the kingdom of God, because you are now the pure at heart. Now live creatively with this. Somebody's lying about you, saying all kinds of things about you. As far as you're concerned, none of them are true, but there's no way to stop them. It's going to ruin your health, it's going to ruin your job, it's going to ruin your marriage, all sorts of things being said about you. But wait a minute, who said so? Who said so? How can that be done if God is omnipresent? You see, it's only real to the human mind. The human mind, which knows nothing of the omnipresence of God. Now what happens when you are aware of the omnipresence of God and know there is no evil? God is right where you are and right where that other individual is, and therefore, God being omnipresent, truth is omnipresent. Is not truth the quality of God? Is not truth present wherever God is? Is there an opposite to God? No. Is not truth the quality of God? And is there an opposite to truth then? No. There is no opposite to truth. There is no opposite to truth. But this person is lying. No, that's the point. They're not lying. They're not lying. There is no opposite to truth. Why don't you stand on that knowledge, rest in it, and see if they're lying? Why don't you rest in the truth that there is no opposite to truth and find out for yourself that you'll have an apology in the morning? Why don't you see that the power of truth recognized in your consciousness will set you free and set the so-called liar free of the lie which is using that person as a victim? Do you see what I mean? To live creatively with the principle that there is no opposite. It isn't possible for anyone to lie about you. They may appear to be, but judge not that appearance. Live with the truth. Know that there is no opposite to the truth, and let the power of the truth show that I in the midst of thee am greater than he that walks the earth. Now this is a dynamic principle. You can take any quality in the world that seems to be evil and know its non-existence, because the truth is God, and God is never an evil, and rest in the Word. And behold, the power of the Lord. Behold, the power of the Word of truth. It will always remove the suppositional opposite. For the opposite is but an appearance in the Lord God's false creation. Don't live in that creation. Don't permit yourself to live in it for one day. Carefully inventory the qualities of God to yourself and know that these qualities are omnipresent. And therefore their opposites cannot be, because nothing of God has an opposite. Don't live in the world of opposites. Live in oneness. Our God is one without opposite. The truth of God has no opposite. God's opposite isn't the devil. There is no opposite to God. Now you see, you build then the New Jerusalem within you, this consciousness which now has a foundation that you can live with. You're building the practical consciousness of pure truth as your foundation. You don't have to defend against evils because God has no opposite. And your defense against the evil is the acceptance of an opposite to God and is a violation of the first commandment, which isn't there to command you but to lift you into the kingdom of God. The commandment is a great, marvelous teaching, not an order. It's an eye-opener. It's lifting you right smack out of this world of measureless evils which never could possibly exist if you knew the truth of your being and the truth of God's omnipresence. And so we have passed from the second and third chapters. We have clarified that they were there to alert us to just what we've talked about today. Not to be believed as a story about Adam and Eve, and not to be disbelieved as a myth, but symbols to teach us that our human minds had been doing this very thing that is described there. Every book of the Bible, from that moment on, had one purpose: to totally crucify the second and third chapter, which Moses had set up as the target. Take these two chapters and crucify them now from your consciousness. I'm putting them up here to show you what your consciousness is doing. And now that's your target. And everything from that point on through the Old Testament into the New, right up to Ascension, and then in Revelation, was to finally annihilate the mortal mind creation of the Lord God. But it's still living in you and me. It's still around us. It's still here when we open our eyes. It meets us on every street corner, in every blaring headline, in every news report on the TV. You've got to meet it there, that God has no opposite. And all the little Adam and Eves and serpents are living a false, non-existent life, which I refuse to join in with. Now, this is the pure at heart consciousness we're striving to individually develop, which will ultimately be the light of the world. Now, I have to emphasize this. Nothing I said is of any importance to you without your total follow-through. If somebody can come up to you tomorrow and tell you about a great catastrophe and make your hair suddenly turn gray, you still believe in evil. If you can hear about another nation going to attack somewhere and believe it, you still believe in evil. Don't be alarmed, because this will happen for quite a while. These little remnants of belief are down in levels of consciousness you're not even aware of. But you must dig and dig and dig, probe and probe every day, bring them out in the open and face them and crucify them. Someday you'll say, there is no evil on the earth and there is no opposite to God. And so now, mortal mind has no resting place in me. with its lie about my father. In fact, there is no mortal mind. And finally, you see, you have entered the fourth dimension of consciousness. And now, that level up here called matter, and that level science calls atoms, and that level called spirit are really all the one spiritual self. Grace is seeping up through the tree of life. And out there, the world still sees a physical you. There are no backaches. There are no fears. There are no hates, and there are no retaliations. And there's no concern about life ending over here. Because, you know, down here is continuous, forever, unto everlasting. You're walking the earth under grace, which is what the child of God should do. Now, if you practice with yourself, you will take love until you can make it your own and see that it has no opposite. You will take truth and make it your own and see that it has no opposite. You will take harmony and see that it has no opposite. Beauty, health, abundance, none of these have opposites. And you look at your purse and say, but abundance has no opposite. That's right. Look for those invisible loaves and fishes and let them multiply. Accept that ye have, for ye already have. Truth is truth forever. And the truth is that the Father has given you all of himself. And don't let this mortal mind tell you differently. Because you don't have to accept any authority but the words of God saying, honor me in all thy ways. Have no gods, no beliefs, other than in my supreme omnipresent self. Well, I don't know what we'll have next week, but we'll probably take this and clarify a little further and show you how John took this very same theme and brought it up to date, but the world couldn't see it. Thank you.
Thank you.